Welcome to the Southern Ground Podcast, provided by Alabama Extension through Auburn University. Extension educators Shane Harris and Dr. Chip East discuss seasonal lawn and garden topics, address common questions, and provide the practical solutions you want to know. Let's dig into our Southern Ground.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Southern Ground. I'm Shane Harris, and joining me today is Chip East. He's back with me again for another episode here today as we talk about peaches.
I'm all excited today, Shane, because we've got my good friend, David Lawrence, with us.
The David Lawrence that you've been highly touting for several weeks now. You said he is the peach guy. He is going to come talk about this, the basket of peaches that we love so much this summer.
David is an extension agent with us here at the Alabama Cooperative Extension System. He's been working with us a long time, and he was raised in Chilton County, Shane. And if anyone knows anything about peaches in Alabama, they know that Chilton County is associated with raising some tasty peaches. So welcome, David.
Good morning, Chip. Morning, Shane. Thank y'all for having me today.
You didn't bring us any peaches, though. I'm highly upset.
I did not. I got here and I realized I left them, and we'll just have to make another trip back home and get us some.
The original plan was we were going to Clanton. That's what Chip had scheduled, and then said we're suddenly going to Auburn, and I'm missing my basket of peaches this morning.
Well, we can work that out. Peaches are still there.
Yeah, they're still there. We got another month or so we'll make it happen.
Well, that's the reason for this podcast today. We are going to talk about those beautiful basket of peaches that everybody looks forward to in the middle of the summer. And here we're recording this for a July podcast. And that's peak peach season, where you can go and get lots of baskets of peaches, bushels of peaches. And I love those fresh eating peaches this time of year. You know, nice and fresh, and those large peaches, you can just peel and eat them. But when it comes to summertime treats, peaches are definitely my favorite. And I love the peach milkshakes. I love the peach pies. I love the peach cobblers. I love, you know, anything peach related, peach ice cream. You got to have it all. So I love those peaches. I'm very tempted when I go to Clanton and other places to buy peaches. I always buy too many because I think I can eat a dozen or more.
You can eat that many on the way home. I'll say peach cobbler's my favorite. And then I guess ice cream's in there somewhere. But I've never spit any out. I mean, I can eat. I love them, too.
Yeah, peach ice cream is probably my favorite. You go to any of the big markets there on the interstate, and they're all competing for the best ice cream. You got peach praline, peach pecan, and they take pride in who has the best ice cream. But they're all good.
Now, that's what we need to do. We don't need to take anybody's word for it who's got the best ice cream. We need to determine that for ourselves.
You're talking about a tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know y'all judged peaches and over the years with peach contests and all that. So we just need to have a peach ice cream testing contest or peach pies, peach cobblers. See, guys, when's lunch? I'm already getting hungry because we're talking about all these nice summertime treats.
You talked me into it. I'm ready. I'll be a judge.
David, why are peaches so popular, from your opinion, growing up there in Chilton County and being a commercial agent dealing with it? Why is this time of year, why is everybody so excited with peaches as a summertime treat?
Well, not everybody can grow a peach. And so a lot of people are, you know, counting on those growers to have those peaches ready for them this time of year. You go to any farmer's market, any roadside stand this time of year, and peaches kind of are the spotlight.
I always wanted to know, which one is the king during the summer, tomatoes or peaches?
Oh, well, people like their tomatoes, but maybe I'm biased, but I'm going to say peaches.
For me, I can't grow the peaches. And as you heard before, I really can't grow the tomatoes anymore either for all the stink bugs. But peaches are hard to grow. Tomatoes are hard to grow. But I could probably grow a few tomatoes, but I can't really grow the peaches like I want to.
David, we don't want to talk anybody out of growing peaches. And I don't want somebody to grow a lot that doesn't know how to tend to them. Just give us a brief overview of what are some issues associated with raising peaches that we need to be on the lookout or think about before we go plant a big field or even a dozen plants at the house.
Sure. So the biggest thing with peaches is battling these environmental conditions that we have, selecting the right varieties that's got the right amount of chill hours. You can get peaches that have chill hours from 300 up to 1,000, and you've got to find whatever part of the state you're in that's going to fit that. Central Alabama, we're typically 800, 900. Sometimes we'll get 1,000 chill hours, and so we want to stay kind of in that window. If you're in South Alabama, you're going to want something much lower. If you're in North Alabama, you can get away with some of those higher chill varieties. So that's the first thing, is selecting the right variety. And once you get past that, you still got to get through those spring events, those frost events, and then, you know, everything loves a peach, every insect, every disease. And so it can be a battle, but we have good spray programs, good IPM guidelines that we follow. If I was going to recommend somebody to plant a peach tree, I would select one that's going to be early season. So peaches, they vary also by when they come into season. Peaches will come in mid-May all the way through mid-August and anywhere in between. And so the earlier that tree comes into harvest, the shorter amount of time you have to take care of it. So those late season peaches, they can be hard to get a good crop that far into the season. So if I was going to pick a tree, it'd be, you know, one of those comes in early season.
I was down in Florida years ago at a peach farm, and it was February, and they were picking peaches. Now, they didn't have the size ours have. They didn't do a lot of thinning and all, but they were highly desirable. They had a market for those peaches in mid-February when we were there, and it was amazing having fresh peaches at that time of year.
Did you get some ice cream in Florida too?
We didn't have ice cream. We didn't have peach ice cream on that trip.
So why is the farmer so successful? If the homeowner has their challenges, why is the farmer so successful?
So it's really a numbers game. You know, it's hard to go out there and justify tending to two or three trees just to get that amount of crop off of there. But, you know, when you've got 4, 5, 10, 20 acres, or, you know, much more than that in some cases planted, it really just comes down to a numbers game. You can get away with some of these spring frost events and still have a crop. In a backyard, you're real limited to how many varieties you can plant. In a commercial orchard, there may be 30 or 40 different varieties out there. And yeah, you might have a frost get 5 or 6 of them, but you still got 20 or 25 that are going to make a crop. And so that's one way to get around that. Also just much more the equipment, able to spray when you need to. That's a big deal when you're managing peaches.
I think about if you was having beef, you might not want just one. It's a lot of trouble. But if you had two, that puts the trouble in half. If you had three, if you had four, if you had five, the more you have, it's not as much trouble to tend to them as it is just having one. And a lot of people don't have one cow that they might, you know, harvest a year, you know, one steer, one heifer, you know.
What you would do with 10 peach trees in the backyard, if you're successful, that's a lot of peaches. That's more than I can eat. You know, unless you're freezing or selling them, or, you know, that's a lot of fresh eating. That's a lot of pies, Chip. That's a lot of ice cream.
I think about a lot of trouble just to have one, but our farmers, David, do a phenomenal job of managing those trees.
They do, and, you know, we work with them real close. They come to a lot of our meetings. We're on, you know, we talk phone calls, text all the time about different issues going on, and so that's their livelihood. They study up on it, and so that's how they make a living. So they take it very, very serious.
And I'll tell you my opinion. What's the biggest challenge? And I think about the cold temperatures early in the year. Like, we know we're going to get brown rot, or we know we're going to get certain insects and diseases. And we may or may not have the cold weather at the wrong times. But that frost event is what would scare me more than anything else if I was the peach farmer.
That's it. And this year there's proof of that. We had a pretty significant cold event on March 17th, and we were in full bloom. A lot of the trees had small fruit on them, and that's the most vulnerable stage they can be in. So like you said, getting that amount of chill hours is number one. Once we get past that, you got to get through mid-March, through bloom, without having any cold events, frost or freezes. We can spray for diseases, we can spray for insects, we can fertilize, we can do all this other stuff, but when it gets that cold, there's just only so much you can do. Now, we do have wind machines. Some growers will, you know, on a small scale, will build fires and, you know, whatever they can do, run their sprayers, but that only helps minimally. You know, it'll help a few degrees, and I mean that could be the difference between a crop and no crop. But this year, it didn't make a huge difference, no matter what we did. And so that's the number one thing, is getting past those spring frost events.
And it's out of our hands, and just not a lot of farmer can do about it. And it is a gamble, but I'm so proud they take that gamble, David, because it's a good crop. I will go back to one thing you said about the chill hours. So if we have a friend in Mobile and they come to Chilton County and eat some of your peaches, they don't need to take that pit and go back to Mobile and plant that same tree. Or, I mean, it wouldn't come up, the same variety wouldn't come up from that. But even if I bought a tree, oh, what was this peach? Oh, I really like that one. I'm going to go back to somewhere else that has a different chill hour and plant it. What's the issues associated with that if I have either a low chilling that I bring up north or a high chilling that I bring down south?
Yeah, so the high chill that you take down south, it's not going to get the amount of chill hours it needs. And so a chill hour is temperatures below 45 degrees that they accumulate during the dormant season. And each variety has a specific dormancy that they need to achieve before they break dormancy, a certain amount of chill hours. And so if they don't get that amount of chill, they'll struggle to put leaves on, set buds, set fruit. We had a situation, it's been nearly a decade ago now, 16-17, that had really low chill hours here in the entire part of the state, but central part of the state. We only had about 500 hours, and there were trees in April and May that hadn't put leaves on yet. And you know, that's, growers were at the beginning of the season were worried about, hey, we're not going to have a crop. But a month later, they worried about, oh, we might lose all of our trees because they hadn't even put leaves on. But they eventually did. But that's the situation you run into with a high chill and a low chill area. Now, you get a low chill tree in a high chill area, those hours are going to be satisfied, say, Christmas time, you know, December. And then you know how it is. It might be 80 degrees on Christmas Day, and as soon as those chill hours are satisfied and you get a few growing degree days, those are going to set, they're going to bloom out, and then they're going to get obviously bit by frost or a freeze within the next 2 months, and then you're not going to have any fruit at that point either. So just got a little window there where you got to hit it just right. And we do have a chill hour map. You can find it on our website, and it's got the average chill accumulation for the last decade or so. You know, that's how our growers make decisions on what trees to plant.
Those trees are pretty in February or January, February when they bloom out in the yard. Oh, hey, spring's coming, but that tree's not going to produce peaches later on because of the cold.
No, we don't like to see them blooming that early. We want them to bloom as late as we can, and there are certain products that we can spray to kind of delay bloom by a few days. Some growers will choose to do that, some just to let it ride and see what happens. But you know, it's not like setting a tomato crop out and hoping to get those first tomatoes. We'd much rather wait a couple of weeks and have a for sure crop than the early crop, because early peaches, they're good. Some people turn their nose up at early peach. They're smaller and cling stone, and I like them. I enjoy them. You know, it's been 8 months since you ate a peach, so you're ready to eat one. So I enjoy early peaches, but some people, you know, that's not really where they make the bulk of their money anyway. Most of the volume is going to be later season. So,
well, that leads us to our next topic. As you're talking about cultivars and varieties of peaches out there, a lot of people do like the early peaches just because, hey, that's something to eat. But a lot of people like those freestone ones that we do have in midsummer. So let's explain to the audience listening that what's the difference between clingstone and freestone peaches?
Yeah, so clingstone, that's where the flesh is going to bind to the seed in the middle. So you cut it open and the seed doesn't separate from the flesh. Freestone's going to be where that flesh does pull away from the pit, and you can have a good, nice, you know, the pretty half of the peach. A lot of people like those for canning and, you know, making pretty dishes and all. Those are typically going to be a good bit bigger, and it's really based on the date and time of the season. Those first 3 or 4 weeks of the season till about mid-June, those are going to be mostly clingstone. Once we get into what we call harvester season, harvester's variety, that's one of the first freestones that come in. From that point on, pretty much everything is going to be freestone. So right now, we're right in the middle of the freestone.
Yeah, I'm ready to get those peaches. I tend to like that season. I prefer the freestone ones because fresh eating, not as messy and all that. Now, you mentioned a couple of variety names, and Chip did too. growing up and still even today, you still, well, it's got to be an Alberta peach. If it's not Alberta, it's not a good one. Chip and David, talk about varieties and cultivars out there. I know when I go to a farmer in these curb markets and farmers markets, I always love seeing all the different cultivar names out there, especially based on season when they come in. And typically Alberta's not even listed anymore. So explain to the folks listening that there's hundreds and hundreds of peach varieties out there now.
Oh yeah, there's a lot. And you know, like you said, Alberta's, you'll see it every now and then. There's All Red Alberta and a few others from that lineage, but there's not a whole lot of Alberta's left out there. that was one of the first varieties that was planted around here. And so when you look at a pamphlet from a nursery or something, every variety is based off of Alberta as far as the ripening date goes. So it'll be, you know, 20 days before Alberta or 40 days before Alberta. And, you know, that's really because if I planted a July Prince in Clanton and then I planted one up in Blount County, well, there's not going to be ripe on the same date because of the geographical difference there. And so they just kind of use Alberta as a reference point as far as ripening date goes. But there's a lot of different varieties. You know, for homeowners, there's a lot of crops that you do have to have cross-pollination. Peaches aren't that way. And so you can plant just one variety and you can set fruit as long as the climate's right, temperature's right. But most commercial producers, they'll grow, like I said, 20, 30, sometimes 40 different varieties. And that's just where they can have peaches all season long, because we're only going to pick peaches off of one variety for maybe a week. You know, you get about three pickings off that tree and that tree's done for the year until that time next year. And so you, as one variety's tapering off, the next one's coming in. That way you can have a continual supply all year long.
We'll divide them up, David, into early, mid, and late season peaches. How many different early, how many different mid, how many different late, how many different varieties or cultivars would you see in a typical peach orchard?
Yeah, so 30 to 40 in a typical orchard. Mid-season, that's where most growers probably have the biggest volume. Just about right now, right prior to 4th of July, is a lot of people are going to the markets, they're going to the lake, they want to get peaches, and so right now is when we want to have a big supply of peaches available. Early season, there's several varieties that are available, but not quite as many. And then kind of on that same line of thinking, late season, you know, once school starts back about 1st of August, farmers markets slow down, you know, people aren't traveling as much. And so not quite as many late season peaches as are mid season. But, you know, that mid-June to mid-July is the biggest volume of peaches that we have coming in.
Going back to Alberta, is it hard to get people to try new things? Like, not the farmer. The farmer's planting new varieties. What I learned from, it seems like with ornamentals compared to fruit or vegetables or something, if it's an ornamental, they want the new impatience, the new poinsettia, the new whatever that's blooming. But they want the old vegetables and the old fruit. And we can improve on that. That for a new variety to be released, it's got to be something better than what we have, and we might have something better. We don't drive the same cars we drove. I mean, some people do, but I mean, we got air conditioning in cars now. Do you want to go back to the old way? If we can improve on something, and a lot of these have been improved on for whatever reason, whether it be sweetness or size or production or disease resistant, I don't know, but there's something better about it, so there's nothing wrong with going to a new one.
Yeah, so a lot of breeding programs around the country, and that's where, you know, they plant breeders will select for new varieties, and then we get those and try them out. There are some that do really good, and there's still some old varieties that just outperform the new ones. And so when you go to orchard, you'll see a mix of old varieties, new varieties.
What are some good varieties out there? So if you had a top 10, you and Chip, I mean, a lot of them that end in Haven, I've always heard, are always good, especially from a homeowner. You got the Crest Haven and the Red Havens and July Prince and Harvester and Majestic, I think. So I've heard all these over the years. Which one would you say is the top best ones for a homeowner or a farmer? Especially if you had to only plant one or two in your yard.
if I had to pick one peach tree to plant and I could bank on it having peaches every year, it'd probably be July Prince. And I'm not going to say it's going to have peaches every year. I can't say that. But on years when other trees struggle, it seems to be able to set a crop. And so, and it's a good tasting peach. It's a good peach. We had our peach auction a couple of days ago at the Chilton County Peach Festival. And I would say out of the 20 baskets that were there, probably 15 of them were July Prince peaches. Well, it just because it happens to be that time of year, but also because it makes a pretty peach.
Part of that, I think, is from a homeowner standpoint, Chip, is availability of the trees. Is education, knowing that variety, say I want a July Prince, okay, where can I get one? Where do I buy one if I want to set one in my yard? You said you only needed one. So where can I get that? Do I have to rely on a seed catalog? Do I have to go to a local nursery? Sometimes it's just don't know anything about it, can't find it.
And I would go to a reputable nursery, somebody you can trust that's going to have that tree labeled for what variety it actually is. You know, I think some situations you can find trees that are labeled not correctly. And so you just want to go to a reputable nursery where when they say it's this variety, you can guarantee that it's that variety. Most of our commercial growers purchase bare root trees. Most of the nurseries are up in Tennessee. And so they're ordering thousands at a time. And so they come bare root in the mail and plant those. But, you know, you can go that route. Or there's potted plants. You go to a local nursery, they may have plants that are, you know, already potted and leafed out.
They'll put an order in, buy these trees from some nursery in Tennessee. They'll pull them out and sell them to homeowners. And if you call your local extension office, whoever's there, they'll find the right person for you to talk to. But they'll tell you where these nurseries are.
In the time frame, if you plant that bare root tree out in the wintertime, what about within 3, 4, 5 years you should start having peaches?
So we can typically get a crop off of them that third year. Even the second year, they'll bloom out. I don't recommend trying to crop them that second year. I'd rather those resources go to producing a good, healthy tree. You try to put peaches on a two-year-old tree, you're going to get limb breakage and drooping down and really hurt the structure of that tree. So we try to not crop them that second year, but that third year, they're strong enough to have some crop. Fourth year, more like a normal mature crop. And that fifth year is really when you get probably the highest, year five, year six, get that highest yield.
How long, David, do farmers crop a tree before they say, you know, I probably need to replace this?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a long investment. It's not like planting a tomato plant where you can make a mistake or, you know, change your mind and start over the next year. It's a long investment. Like I said, starting that third year, you can get a crop, and usually it varies, but 15 years, it depends on what ground you're on. If you're on old peach ground, what we call old peach ground, where peach trees have been in the past, you're going to deal with things like armillaria, some of those root rot diseases, and you may be lucky to get 10 years out of them. If you're on good ground, I've seen trees that are 30 years old.
We were at one of our friends' peach farm in North Alabama, and he had a row of peaches, and they were around 30 years old. I believe they were a little more than 30. And he said, you know, I've been threatening to replace these for a while, but he's still getting peaches off of those trees. Now, he's planted others since then and all, but he really liked those and still producing. But, yeah, we want to replace that with another tree.
How many peaches can we get off a tree? Say from a homeowner or a farmer, basket of peaches, bushels of peaches. What would be a good average of a peach crop that you would get?
So it's going to go back to how much you thin them. So peaches on a good year can set way more fruit than they can handle. And so we got to get those taken off. If not, they're just going to be all golf ball size and hard as a rock and you know, not going to be good. So we want to thin those out. Typically 6 to 8 inches apart, you know, just rule of thumb. It's going to vary on the size of the limb, the location on the tree and all that. But as far as a good yield for a tree, you know, 5 to 6, 7 boxes on a tree, on a good mature tree, is a good number to shoot for. I'm saying boxes, like a 25-pound bushel box, half bushel box.
That's a lot of peaches, Chip. That's a lot of pies. That's a lot of ice cream. That's a lot of eating.
So go back to thinning peaches, David. 6 to 8 inches is, if I had early peaches or late peaches, how does thinning change? And I hate to say we're pulling a peach off and throwing it on the ground, but that's what thinning is it just can't support that many fruit, or that they're not going to size up, as you said.
yeah, they just don't have enough reserves. And so early season peaches, all of their reserves are what they built up the fall before. You know, they don't have enough carbohydrates stored up to produce that crop that early season. And so getting those early season peaches thinned as early as possible is crucial for getting those peaches to be able to size up. So when we say thinning, we're talking about, you know, physically removing peaches from the tree, throwing them on the ground. So, you know, as soon as that thread of spring frost is over, you know, we don't want to go thin and then have a frost hit and then wipe out what we had left. So at that point, it's a numbers game. So when the threat of cold weather's over, go in, thin those early season ones first, and then, you know, that'll give those time to build up. But you don't want to wait until they get to where they're pit hardening. You know, you still want to thin even the late season ones when they're the size of a pecan, you know, something like that. You want to get those pulled off where they can continue to size up.
I got a question about just Alabama peaches. There's people grow them in North Alabama, Central Alabama, South Alabama. What makes an Alabama peach better than a peach grown in another state?
So for people in Alabama, it's just the freshness. If you get peaches from Georgia or South Carolina, they can grow them good. I mean, I'm not going to knock them. But if you buy a peach from out of state, it spent some time in a cooler, or, you know, it got just traveling. And when you get a peach from Alabama, it most likely was harvested fresh, and you're getting it the shortest amount of time from harvest to consumption as you can. And so that's where they stand out.
Be like buying a local grown tomato or anything else is freshness.
It's hard to beat that freshness.
Freshness usually wins out when I ask people, why do you want to grow something? Freshness is the answer, because it's not to save money. It freshness is usually number one.
And that's why they're stopping at these curb markets and farmers markets and buying directly from the farmer, because they know it's fresh, they know it's locally grown, and it's ready to eat.
That's right.
So when did peaches first become an imported crop in Alabama?
So about the start of the 1900s, we started having some commercial orchards in the state, and really saw production start to build up. Of course, we had, you know, Great Depression and all, but about 1950s, 1960s is when we saw the peak here in Alabama. I think we had about 10,000 acres in production in the 1960s, and then, you know, I guess the market really got flooded at that point, and you start to saw a dip in production. And you know, we're nowhere near that now. That was the peak of it, as far as acreage and the number of producers. I think we had somewhere around 800 producers in the state. Those are all small family farms, and that's still how we produce today. Everything we have is family farms. For the most part, we're a retail state. Everything we grow goes to retail market. There are a few growers that, you know, they'll wholesale some, but all those peaches still end up at a retail market somewhere. We don't produce anything for canning or storing or anything. So it's a big part of the state as far as the ag economy goes. Everywhere, like we said at the beginning, everywhere you go, every farmer's market you go to, you'll see peaches on display. And that's kind of one of the highlights of the market is the peaches.
In your opinion, do y'all see the peach industry growing? Do you see the opportunities for people to get in and growing peaches?
So the opportunity's there. I will admit it's hard to get into it if you weren't born into it. You know, it's just a big learning curve. You got to have land, you got to have the equipment, and you got to have that kind of born into. You got to have that want to. I'm not saying if you weren't born with it, you can't get it. It's just a little bit more of an obstacle. As far as the industry goes, it's been pretty stagnant. Not a lot of growth, not a lot of decline in the recent years. But the potential's there. I mean, we're, for Alabama fresh market production, the potential is there.
I was going to ask, and you kind of hit on it, how it's changed in the last 50 years, 75 years, 100 years, or whatever. Are the farms, we have less acres, but are the farms that are there, are they the same size, or are they larger than they were, say, in the 50s?
Just looking at the numbers, I would say they're larger. We do have some that are, you know, that 5-6 acres a tree range, and that's really just going to support their market. We do have growers that have 100 or more acres, and, you know, that's going to support their markets plus some wholesale distribution. I would say on average, probably larger, because looking at the amount of acreage we have in the state versus the amount of growers I know we have, I mean, we pretty good size farms for family markets.
So that leads me into some final thoughts, I guess. Buying peaches, if we buy a box of peaches, a basket of peaches, what are we going to do with them? You know, and I guess I'll start with guys with, how do you select a peach?
Yeah, so peaches don't last a long time. They're short shelf life, and so you got to have something in mind with them to do when you buy them. You know, we have certain crops that we can set an apple on the shelf for a while and it'll still be good, or we can stick it in the refrigerator and it'll be good for a while, but peaches, you know, they're not that way. So have something in mind to do with them. They freeze well, they can well, and so that's things you can do with them. We might have to get our food safety people in here to talk about how to take care of them after you purchase them.
But you need to have the end in mind, what you're going to do. You can certainly share with a lot of people when you go and buy a truckload of peaches, but something needs to be done.
Well, David, we appreciate you being here on Southern Ground and getting deep and talking about the peach crop in the state of Alabama, as well as it's a summertime treat, Chip. Just talking about peaches, I'm hungry now. It's getting time for lunch, but I'm ready for some fresh peaches. I'm ready to go back to Clanton or wherever the peaches are grown and get some of that ice cream and peach cobbler and peach pie.
It sure does. Can't wait to get some, and we will go to Chilton County and get some pretty soon.
Y'all follow me home. Y'all make a detour.
David, thank you so much for joining us today on Southern Ground. And as always, if anyone has any questions about peaches or anything else, just give us a call at your local extension office. We can be found at Alabama Cooperative Extension System is ACES.edu. Thank y'all for listening.
Southern Ground has been a production of Alabama Extension at Auburn University.